32 degrees in downtown Fairhope as we welcome Baldwin County School Superintendent Eddie Tyler joining us for Community Contact. Good morning, Eddie. How are you?
I'm fine,
or
Lori.
Or coach, as so many people still affectionately call you.
Well, that's a special label that I don't mind ever giving up.
Well,
I don't want to give it up.
There's so many new people in the county, which I'm sure you know and we'll talk about within the school system, but many people may not be aware of your history. Give us a brief overview for those that are not.
Well, how much time do we have? Well, I started my 48th year in education July 1 of this year. And, of course, I landed in Fairhope. We'll start there, back in 1987 at the old high school. Was there until I was appointed athletic director, head coach at Daphne High School. I coached under Coach Dean at Fairhope. And then was at Daphne 4 or 5 years, then went to Robertsdale and coached, and then back to Fairhope, the new school, and coached, and then to Gulf Shores High School as a principal, and then the central office as assistant superintendent, then to Eufaula City for 3.5 years as superintendent, and I was blessed enough to be back here now in my 9th year.
Very good. So, no stranger to Baldwin County.
No.
And that's thus the reason some folks call you coach. Tell us about the growth and how it is affecting the school systems. I know you recently adopted a budget. How much bigger than last year? How's our enrollment compared to last year, et cetera?
Well, the budget's significantly larger. We're right at $700 million, $750 million. And a lot of that involves encumbered expenses as far as construction and things of that nature that we've already had approved by the board. We've also, our numbers are back up to pre-COVID. We're 32,000 and climbing student-wise. And we've got construction going on all over the county.
Do you feel like we're able to keep up with the growth?
Well, 9 years ago, if you'd asked me that, when we had over 150 portables throughout the system, and a new school had not been built since 2009, I would say it was going to be an impossible task. We'd still have portables. But now our portables are down to probably less than 20 throughout the county, and we are staying close to growth. I don't know if we'll ever catch it.
How is the teacher shortage? I hear in Florida and some other areas that it is almost severe. How is it in Baldwin County?
Well, I'll have to say, and of course our HR director would be the one to sit here in front of you and tell you that, Dr. Wilson, but I do think because of people wanting to move to Baldwin County for a quality of life, great place to raise a family, and a very good education, whatever you choose, but we prefer the county school system, that, you know, it's hard to keep up, but we're doing that, yeah.
Okay. It's also enticing, is that a word, for teachers to want to be here, I would think.
It is, and, you know my mind kind of left me when you're talking about teacher shortage, but we have a teacher fair every year. We really don't have issues with getting resumes for people wanting to come to Baldwin County and teach because our teacher starting pay is 6.5% higher than the state matrix, so we're very proud of that. And not many systems. There might be less than 5, and there are city systems that can claim that, and they're generally in the northern part of the state, other than I think Orange Beach and Gulf Shores, when they broke, had to match what we were doing. So we're very proud of that.
And getting back to constructing schools, it seems like every time I turn around, there's another ribbon cutting. You have done, you've instituted, is it a pay-as-you-go
yes.
build program?
Yes. Absolutely. It's a pay-as-you-go. We initiated that. It was just getting off the ground when I came back in 2015, and we have continued that pay-as-you-go. Right now, construction-wise, Lori, January of 2024, we will have paid in full about $350 million in construction with no new taxes to the citizens of Baldwin County. And phase five was probably going to take us over $500 million. So, and that'll be paid for 2026, 2027.
And when you say no new taxes, of course, you're dependent in part on the one that's in place now.
Correct. There's a penny tax that the county commission back when I first came on board, approved. And that penny, back when I was assistant superintendent, was worth about $24 million. Now that penny is worth $60 to $70 million to the Baldwin County School System.
Wow, what does that tell you?
Yes.
So, what else would you like us to know? For instance, I just got the Baldwin County Commission's budget of $250 million focusing on public safety, infrastructure, and employees, but the county doesn't actually fund the school system, do they, or do they give you an appropriation of some sort?
Other than taxes that we receive from the school system, but the county really doesn't give us any approved appropriations. But, you know, when you're talking about safety, our SRO program is going strong. It's a model for the state. We have the three mill tax districts. We have four of those, and because of sales tax being like they are, they're paying a tremendous amount of money to our schools in those feeder patterns. We're partnering with Foley and the city council, and they're eventually, I think, going to go for a referendum on the three mill. But we're kind of matching funds so that the citizens can kind of see how that works. So if the city council gives $300,000 to the school, we give $300,000. And eventually, though, I think they're going to go to a vote of the people.
You were mentioning Gulf Shores, et cetera. How has those that have broken off two city schools, how has that affected the public school system financially?
It hasn't affected us financially. And I do want to say that I'm what I would say a good colleague with the two superintendents in Gulf Shores and Orange Beach, and they're good people. And, you know, their focus is to make their school system the best that it can be. So anything that I might say has nothing to do with Gulf Shores and Orange Beach and their value that mm-hmm. they bring to students and the cities. But it has not affected us financially. We're as in good a shape, if not better, than we've ever been financially. John Wilson does a fabulous job of keeping up with our money. Our school board entrust myself and my staff to make the right decisions, and they let me run this system.
On a recent Fairhope Education Committee meeting, an item on the agenda was discussion of a city school system. Mm-hmm. It's the first time I'd seen that head raised in a few years. Did anyone talk to you about that?
No one talked to me about that, and I knew they were having meetings, but I'm going to be honest with you, Lori, if I can be honest. I wasn't going to step into those meetings because my focus is on Baldwin County Public Schools, and a city system is a public school system. But I know what we're doing for our students and our employees and what value we bring to not only Fairhope but to the county. So the city school system, that died about as quick as it got started from a group of people that I don't really think they understand that being in charge is not creating a city school system. You know, if they wanted to be in charge, I don't think the mayor wanted anything to do with that. I don't think the city council wanted anything to do with that. And we were not going to entertain.
Between FEEF and the Fairhope Education Committee and the appropriations and the taxes, I mean, Fairhope's sitting pretty good. It seems like I'm seeing Fairhope High School in the top 10 every year.
Every year. Fairhope Middle School is not far behind. And we've got great leadership in all the schools in Fairhope. They're well known. People understand the value that these teachers and the school puts on education. But yes, when you talk about financially stable, anything that the three mill brings to these five schools in the Fairhope feeder pattern, that's above and beyond what we as a school system will continue to provide. So nobody's going to get less.
I overheard a realtor recently talking about the fact that she was surprised people were looking for $1 million home, but not private schools. They were going to go to Fairhope Schools or another public school in the county or take their kids there.
Well, to say
that's
that
a great compliment.
To say that doesn't excite me and make me very proud of what our teachers and our administrators and our board, the value they place on our public school system in Baldwin County. And, you know, at the end of the day, all the private schools, the parochial schools, you know, it's a parent choice I wish them well, because at the end of the day, we're all in it for the same thing, and that's children. Mm-hmm. It's just as we have to market ourselves at the public school system. And you know what? We're doing that very well, and I think people in the state of Alabama know that Bowen County Schools are back at the front of the pack.
You're also focusing on vocational training. Tell us about that.
Well, we are. In fact, if anybody has been asleep at the wheel driving 59 between Loxley and Stapleton, you just can't avoid seeing our Bowen Preparatory Academy that will be opening up in the fall of 2024. That's close to a $100 million project.
Whoa.
That our school system is doing most of the heavy lifting on. We've got a few financial help from others, and not much from the state, but several of our legislators are helping us. But that's going to be a 10th through 12th grade. You go there all day, and then if you go back to your base school, such as Fairhope, which we were talking about, or Robertsdale, or Foley, you can be in the band, play sports, be in clubs. You're still connected to that school. But this is a workforce development high school like none other in the state of Alabama.
Okay. Just for, did you say 10th through 12th grade?
10th through 12th grade, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So they'll be able to drive to this and then back to their other
right,
school?
Right. Well, our buses will run too.
Okay.
Buses will bring them. And then as far as driving, that will probably be a decision made by the principal of the Bowen Prep Academy, like okay. we do at our two trade schools now, which have done a fine job, but they're old. They're tired, and they need to step aside because so many things have changed in the world of workforce development. You can't find plumbers now. You can't find welders. You can't find construction people. Those industries are just hollering for people to come to them that have some type training, and we hope to create that. And it'll be a regional. You can come from Mobile County, apply for a waiver. You can come from Escambia County, apply for a waiver as a student and be a part of this school.
The other two, the vocational schools that you mentioned, will they stay in operation as a part-time program for students?
Not in the manner that they're operating now. We're still trying to figure out what we want to do with those two facilities. Sometimes when you tear down buildings that maybe you can use for other purposes, it costs you more to build them back. So right now, as far as our workforce development schools, no. They will not be performing that same function.
Okay. What about the library issue? There has been here in Fairhope and, of course, across the United States, the issue of some books that may not be appropriate for children, accessible to children in libraries. How are books chosen in the Bowen County Public School System? Right. And when someone comes to you and complains about a specific book, what's the procedure?
Well, thank you for bringing that up, because a lot of information and a lot of social media that's been going on is old news as far as, you know, us promoting books, counselors, how they talk to children and encourage children to become something other than they are, or explore, to read certain books. Right now, we've opened up our libraries to organizations that have asked, can we audit your books? Can we go through your books? Well, we've opened it up. I told our folks, give them the list of our books in our library. You know something? They might find something that we didn't know was there. But they've got to understand, that doesn't mean that day in and day out we promote things that are inappropriate for children. And I'm talking about K through 12. Older children, sometimes the literature changes because they're older and certain things are required. But we're not going to put anything in the hands of children knowingly that promotes anything that would be immoral or things of that nature, or that would guide them in a direction they shouldn't be going.
If a book were found of that nature, what would happen?
They bring it to the attention of our assistant superintendents, or they can bring it to my attention. And we immediately go and research and look at what they have indicated. And I can't tell you how many books that we have that people have told us about that we have gone in and removed.
You have?
Yeah, we have. We have removed them. And
several, a few dozens? What do you think?
Well, I don't think. I think our librarians and our schools have done a very good job of providing the appropriate material. But sometimes things are provided that maybe should have been run up the flagpole and determine if that is appropriate. But as far as just a large number, no. I think our schools have done very well, but we're always wanting people to help us, but not to burn us at the stake. You know, I mean, as a way of going about saying, hey, we're concerned about books in your library, and then feed us some information instead of, you know, taking up arms and storming the board meetings. That's not a way to do it.
Okay. You're offering transparency here.
Absolutely, we're offering transparency.
And thinking before we wrap up of any other topic that seems to garner attention from parents, air conditioners on buses. Now, as long as we lived, buses have not been air conditioned.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Do you see that as a feasibility for the future, or is that just something we just have to deal with? We did when we were kids, and our kids will too.
It is feasible for the future. In fact, next fall, aside from our special needs buses, they are air conditioned. Anytime we order one, it's air conditioned. But next fall, we will probably put online, out of our 350 to 400 buses, a little bit over 100 buses that have air conditioning. These are route buses. And as far as determining how we'll place them in our system, we're talking to transportation now. Do we place them on longer routes, you know, that start early in the morning and the route's over an hour? If a route is 30 minutes long, do we need an air-conditioned bus right now until we get more? So we're looking at that. We have heard people, their concerns. As far as when you and I rode buses, it was just a different time.
Yeah.
Right now, parents don't seem to want to put up with as much as our parents did. But you know something? I think you turned out okay, and I turned out okay.
However, in today's world, I see your point, and the fact that y'all are going to accommodate some of that is wonderful.
Yes.
What else would you like to bring up? I haven't thought to ask yet before we do run out of time.
Well, I do want to say that academically, and we've always talked about it, it leads. I was at a conference last week, and I was able to tell that group that our ACT scores, English proficiency, math, and science proficiency, we're the highest scoring county in ACT proficiency scores in the state of Alabama. The only people ahead of us are very small school systems that might be a tick above us as far as proficiency. And you know something a lot of people don't know? Baldwin County Public Schools is greater than 50% free and reduced lunch. So it's not like everybody lives from Foley all the way down to Spanish Fort along the Eastern Shore. You know, families were hurting, and a lot of families still are, but we're over 50% free and reduced, and we still have a tremendous academic track record.
Very impressive. Wonderful. Thank you so much,
You're
Coach.
You're welcome, Lori.
Baldwin County School Superintendent Eddie Tyler joining us now the third Tuesday of each month for Community Contact.